entering the business zone of Kello News Talk 1320 107.9. It's Unique Real Estate on Sioux Falls Radio, and it's the only show of its kind in the area. This is It's Your Business. And now, here is your conductor, the maestro, and your host for the show, Bill Zortman.
Good morning, I'm Bill Zortman, and welcome to It's Your Business. It's show 769. 769 in our original It's Your Business series. What was that number again? Was it 769? Rev, right on track today.
I think so, Bill.
Couldn't even throw him a curve.
Hey, real quick, I have an update. There was a clerical error at Feeding South Dakota, and one of the sponsors got missed for the total for food. So, but it's a good, I mean, it was an honest mistake, and stuff happens, you know. Yeah. But the grand total now is $39,791.
That's almost just 20
under, barely under 20 tons.
So if I went over and weighed in,
we'd be way over 20 tons.
You'd be right at 20 tons. Okay, I like that. Rev,
so
good
I
work
just
with that.
Wanted to throw that out there, and thanks again, everybody. So,
all right, as you're driving away for the Labor Day weekend or get ready to do whatever you're going to do for business in our 9 to 10 o'clock hours, we're glad to have you along for the ride. We'll check in with the State Fair. 3,500 4-H'ers doing their thing in an old building. How's the fundraising going? We're going to take a look at that as well in the next 2 hours. Hartford has their monthly appearance, and believe it or not, their pizza maker was the Pizza Ranch Company's Pizza Manager of the Year. We'll talk with Adam DeYoung. Plus, Jody from Plastic Surgery Associates, Tom Johnson, our legal voice, Ron Nelson, Commercial Properties. And we're going to start with Jody Schwann, Sioux Falls Business Journal. The cover story of the week she shared on Monday went to print and online Wednesday. Businesses saying thanks to customers to build loyalty and obviously more business. Jody, good morning.
Good morning, Bill. Yeah, we focused on new ways of showing appreciation to customers and building those business relationships in this week's cover story. And I think we had a good range of different ideas in there, everything from golf tournaments to big concerts to professional development speaker type series to the impromptu visit from an ice cream truck on a summer day. So, you know, I think the key here is creativity and finding things that add value to your customers, you know, whether that be some new professional information or just a nice excuse to take a break. So, not surprisingly, we have a photo gallery up at SiouxFallsBusinessJournal.com that shows you some visuals behind those ideas. Been very popular this week, so take a look if you're interested online.
Before we get to our Friday follow-up, which was something that you actually did a story on Monday, you have some breaking news involving a bank.
Yeah, big news this morning for Great Western Bank. They have filed their IPO, initial public offering. So what that means is that National Australia Bank, which has owned Great Western since 2008, will no longer be owning it. So it's not going to be an Australia-based company anymore. It is actually Sioux Falls-based. You know, the executive offices have been here in Sioux Falls anyway, but now it's going to be a publicly traded company with executive offices based in Sioux Falls. It'll be the third, actually, Bill, financial services company to have those executive offices based here in town, the others being MetaBank and Home Federal Bank. So some exciting news, I think, for the folks over at Great Western. Of course, because it is an IPO that involves a quiet period, they are not able to talk a whole lot about it at this point, although we do have information from their filing up online that provides some additional context. So, again, SiouxFallsBusinessJournal.com, your source for that as well.
One of the things you told us on Monday morning in breaking news was a little story about the earthquake that was, I think, 6.2, 6.4 on the Richter scale out at Napa Valley, California, involving one of our doctors.
I know, a powerful earthquake, to be sure. You know, Bill, I can't believe this was just over the weekend. I don't know if that just talks about how much is going on or the sense of the news cycle or what, but yeah, it was just really days ago that we learned of the earthquake to hit the Napa Valley area of California, and one of the many wineries impacted by that is Jessup Cellars, which has ownership ties to Sioux Falls, the Sioux Falls area, those being Dr. Vance Thompson of Vance Thompson Vision and Dr. Dan Blue from Stanford Health. They are some of the owners in that winery. So I was able to talk with Dr. Vance Thompson shortly after the earthquake hit, get some powerful photos, I thought, of the damage to their production facility, which is located really close to the epicenter. So, you know, we always know that there are these Sioux Falls connections and larger national and usually international events, too, and it wasn't hard to find one here with this earthquake. But all things considered, their staff was okay, some damage to their houses, and they now are going about assessing the damage and trying to figure out repairs to their facilities out there in the Napa region.
Within the last hour, I got to talk to Dr. Vance Thompson about his reflections on Friday of what happened over the weekend.
It's probably the most scary thing I've ever been through, because when it's 3:30 in the morning and you're in a deep sleep and your room starts shaking like you're in a dollhouse, and the closet doors fly open and everything flies out of it and off the walls, and you wonder, you know, just where it's going to stop, and, you know, is it the end? And so when it did stop, we found ourselves in a very rattled state, but also, you know, that's when you pray and say, thank you, Lord, and then start checking on your friends who are also in the area.
The wine itself is kind of what the headline was, some of the pictures that you shared with Jody. How bad was it? How were you affected?
Well, after we made sure our team was okay, and then we could start thinking like that. And, you know, in the wine business, you know, those barrels are, you know, 64 gallons. They're big. They're full. They're stacked six high. And they rattled also and fell and were in a mess. And some broke, and some broke, you know, and exploded, and some broke halfway and leaked. There was a flood in the winery, and there was a big gas leak. We were worried about an explosion, got all that stuff turned off, and then started assessing the damage. And in the end, we were amazed that some of those barrels, even though exploded, a lot of them didn't. And probably about 10% loss of this vintage. There were some that in the Napa Valley that had 100% loss. And so it just varied from one spot to another spot. And I think it varied a little bit on when the building was built, because earthquake-resistant measures have gotten better.
You lost a good friend this week, Mark Amundsen. We've talked about him on our golf show, Dave Austed, Randy Dierheim. He meant a lot to you, too.
Yes, you know, and when it gets right down to it, that's what's most important, is our lives here on Earth, and to lose a close friend like that is, you know, just way more significant than anything, and it has you counting your blessings and thinking about appreciating those that you're here with on Earth still.
Dr. Vance Thompson, we're glad you're with us today.
Thank you.
Jody, kind of an emotional Dr. Vance Thompson. He's had quite the week.
Yeah, so I thought a really powerful interview there, Bill. And I could tell, you know, even just emailing with him and how rattled he was and just how affected he was by this, you know. Anybody in business, I'm sure, can relate. You know, you have a lot of ownership involved there. You care about your employees. You care about your product. And then you add to that just the actual experience, the emotional experience of going through a powerful earthquake like that. A tough week for those guys.
And what we need to remember is it's Labor Day weekend. Life is precious. Live it. Jody, enjoy your weekend.
Thanks, Bill. You too.
Jesse Schmidt, Better Business Bureau of South Dakota, is keeping eyes, both eyes, on the scams. Thank you for doing that. I still want to know why I'm getting 409-123-4567.
I know. And, you know, this really, doing some research on it, this goes back really to 2008, or some of the earliest reportings of these phone calls. A lot of them are tied to that Microsoft scam, but really what we know it to be is telephone spoofing, and we've talked a lot about that. But what about those people that call you for the everyday things? They're going to lower your home mortgage rate, all that sort of thing. So I just want to go back and update our listeners, because most important thing you can do is get yourself on that do not call registry. And that's really simple. You can go to donotcall.gov and you can register your home phones and your cell phones. And then after about 30 days, people have seen a dramatic decrease in the number of those. And what I have found very effective, when legitimate businesses call you and you say, I am on the do not call registry, please remove me from your solicitations. But there are organizations that don't have to comply with that do not call, and those are nonprofit organizations. So they may be calling you to contribute to the Fraternal Order of Police or all really good organizations. But again, if you say, you know, I only take solicitations by mail or I give locally, and you can ask them to be put on their own do not call list, and then they have to abide by that as well. Again, both on your home phone and on your cell phone. And South Dakota is unique in that it requires any company that's going to solicit you over the telephone to be registered with the Public Utilities Commission. And so I often recommend that if people are tired of getting phone calls and the callers are not following the laws that we have set forth in South Dakota, to contact the PUC to file a complaint with the Federal Trade Commission, because there are very stringent laws as it relates to calling a consumer at their home.
You can usually figure it's a call from somebody you don't want when it's 6:30 at night.
Yes, and they are right. They're very restricted in the times that they can call as well. They can't call, I believe, after 9:30, and they can't call before 6:30, or between that time frame of 5 to 6:30, something like that. I might not have that right, but yeah. So there, you can see there's been a big trend in telephone solicitation.
All right. Obviously, you have more information available on the do not call list, and obviously, you got to update that. You just can't say, well, I did it 5 years ago.
Well, actually, you know, your cell phone, you're good for about 5 years. But once you go on that do not call list, you're good.
That's it.
Good forever, as long as that's your same phone number.
And your phone number, you're reachable
right
at?
271-2066.
And you don't answer at 6:30 at night. but you can leave a message.
Yes, exactly. You sure can leave a message, and we're happy to get back to you.
Jesse Schmidt, Better Business Bureau of South Dakota. You have a nice weekend.
I will. Have a safe Labor Day.
Well, talking scams, we're going to bring in our legal voice, Tom Johnson. We'll see what Johnson Christensen Law has to say, all a part of this Labor Day weekend. Tom Johnson, Johnson Christensen Law Office is in the broadcast courtroom, SiouxFallsLaw.com. Tom, good morning.
Good morning, Bill. How are you today?
Medicare and the rating system. Obviously, it's got your eyebrows up a little this morning.
Just a little bit, yeah. It was a great idea that maybe isn't working out quite the way intended. Back in 2008, Congress passed the five-star quality rating system. The idea was that as we chose a nursing home for our friends and relatives, for our elderly, we'd be able to go to a rating system that had actually inspected the homes. It was conducted or created by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, otherwise known as CMS. They've got data in now for the years 2009 through 2013. You can find all of that on the internet. You can go to Medicare.gov, Nursing Home Compare is the site. But what we've discovered is that in some instances, some of the nursing homes have kind of figured out how the rating system works, and maybe the staff increases a little bit when the inspectors are around, and noting that they're going to be rated on this issue or that issue, they tend to get higher marks sometimes than they maybe deserve. They've nationally, back in 2009, 37% of the nursing homes got five stars. More than 50% get five stars now. Of the 50-plus nursing homes that are on the federal watch list for quality, nearly two-thirds of them hold a four- or five-star rating for staff levels and quality statistics. So it isn't they've gamed the system a little bit. It isn't the end of the road and trying to find the right nursing home for your loved one. You're still going to have to take some responsibility for self-inspection, if you will.
Tom Johnson, Johnson Christensen Law, SiouxFallsLaw.com. Okay, so we're sitting here in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. What do we do? How do we react? What do we want to make sure that our loved ones are in good care and that we're doing what we should for them?
I think you still look at those ratings. You still go online and take a look at them because, after all, if the home you're looking at is getting one or two or even three stars, maybe that's not the place to start looking. They haven't even figured out how to game the system. So I still think you start there. In South Dakota, we had 108 homes in 2009. Now we have 110, or at least in 2013 we had 110. In 2009, 6.5% of our homes were five-star. In 2013, they've tripled that number. It's 18.3%. I guess if it were me, I would still probably start out with that report, but then I think the best thing to do is to go look at the home and do your own surprise inspections. I've told you this before, Bill. There's nothing better than common sense. If something feels wrong, it probably is.
I'm surprised, and as I listen to this star system and how they look at it and how they rate it, makes me think about all the talk in businesses about social media. Why we don't see more on social media about nursing homes? With all that we see, the immediacy, the LinkedIn, the Facebook, the Twitter, any of this would seem like if there is a reason to get the word out, somebody could get the word out.
You know, the truth of the matter is I'm not real active on social media, and I've never really looked around for nursing home issues on social media. So I'm not, maybe it's there and I just don't know it. Perhaps there is some exchange going on. I did read an article recently, this last week or so, that social media tends to be kind of artificially positive, if you will. People tend to talk about things that are not...
sometimes artificially boring.
Yes, that too. Yeah. Yeah, there's pictures of all of us now dumping ice water over our heads. You know, I mean, what's that got to do with anything? But,
you know, going back to the nursing home abuse, we have talked a lot about things to look for, things to be concerned about. And Tom, we probably ought to mention a couple of three of those that you hear about, others hear about, what concerns you as you're an attorney that is in that side of it.
I think you use your senses. You look at what things look right, look like in the nursing home. You smell at what things smell like. You talk to people and see if they feel right. Just use those common sense and natural instincts that you have. Again, I would still start with that five-star quality rating system because I think it's going to filter out the ones you definitely don't want to be looking at all. But even when you get into the four and five stars, I think that you personally visit those nursing homes and don't just check your loved one in and then, you know, dust your hands off and walk away and say, well, they're in a good home. Hasta la vista. I think you go back and you visit them. You have dinner with them once in a while at the nursing home and spend an afternoon and spend an evening and spend a night there.
People having concerns about nursing homes can call you, reach you at?
335-1778 or toll free at 1-877-335-1778. Or on our website at SiouxFallsLaw.com.
I'm still amazed at that website. That's amazing. You have other things that you handle, workman's comp, disability cases, Social Security.
Yeah, there's four areas that we talk about here with you, Bill. One is Social Security.
You mean disability. There's other areas?
Well, we practice in Sioux Falls, so we do a lot of things. But we have a significant disability law practice for Social Security disability and SSI. The nursing home abuse and neglect cases, of course. We look at personal injuries, which mostly are motor vehicle accidents, but they could be professional negligence cases, or they could be slip and falls or other negligent cases. And we also look at work comp cases for the workers who are hurt on the job. And that could be either a work comp claim or it could also be a personal injury if a third party has been involved in causing that injury. So those are the areas that we like to talk about. The fact of the matter is we do a number of other things as well.
Last day or so, we've had bricks falling off a building downtown. Any concern we should have? Somebody gets hit by a brick? What do they do?
Well, call me. But my concern with regard to those particular bricks is that that happens to be the block where I parked my car.
I was thinking the very same thing, Tom. How about your car? Has your car called you?
Well, luckily, I don't work in the middle of the night, at least not down at the office. So, but it did create a parking problem for me that day.
Most asked question you're getting right now for your office.
In the disability area, it's always why it takes so long, and I have absolutely no answer for that. It is what it is. It's going to take some time, and I don't tell any of your listeners that I can speed that process up because it's just going to take as long. There's a lot of people in line ahead of you, as I tell new claimants. The personal injury clients, probably the initial question is almost always, do I have a case? And sometimes the answer is yes, sometimes no. I don't think the average layman is able on the close calls to really sort that out on their own. There can be some factors that are just a little bit beyond them. On work comp, it's whether they're analyzing the claim fairly and accurately. Those claims are pretty regulated by the Department of Labor. There's really a set of standards so that, honestly, most of those answers they can get directly from the Department of Labor unless there is a just denial of any coverage at all. If they've accepted the case, generally speaking, they're pretty close to where they should be in terms of the monetary award.
He's Tom Johnson, Johnson Christensen Law Office, SiouxFallsLaw.com. Really pretty easy. If you need somebody, he talks to me even off microphone the same way that he does on. He'll do the same thing for you, and that helps if you know that you got a lawyer that really cares. Tom, we know you do.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate your time.
When we come back, we're going to talk State Fair. We're also going to compare Sioux Falls and Fargo. Those folks from Fargo have been looking at our downtown. Ron Nelson's going to tell us what they're doing.
A $1 million office building.
Occasionally, I'll get a call from somebody saying, we've got a $70 million industry to come to town. We've got to find 15 acres. We want it outside of Sioux Falls.
Mm-hmm.
Can you do both?
Absolutely. I mean, can we as a firm do both? Is that what you're asking?
Either or.
Yeah, no, we...
I'll let you answer it the way you like.
Yeah. Yeah, certainly, you know, doing this business for 25 plus years in this town, you've kind of seen and done it all and touched everything. I can honestly say there's very few types of things that, you know, we wouldn't have the capabilities of doing. We focus on retail. We focus on site selection. At some point, I've got an anatomy lesson that... we'll call it kind of the anatomy theme that we can talk about. But I have a kind of a little, I guess you could say, breakdown of the anatomy of sites, the anatomy of a great retail site, the anatomy of a great office space, and what goes into it. You know, a lot of it's common sense, but, you know, what is a common sense golf tip to Phil Mickelson, you know, would be a stroke of genius to me. So the point I make is, you know, I do this every day, and, you know, certainly somebody in any industry, the you know, simple fundamentals to them are, you know, for clients that we point out to some of these, what we think are simple fundamentals, they're things they've never heard of or thought of. So, you know, I think we can down the road touch on a few of those anatomy lessons.
We'll do that next time.
Good. I'd enjoy that.
Makes sense. You have a good Labor Day weekend.
Thanks, you too.
Let me know if Jesse needs a fourth. If you could beat Jesse, you know, maybe I could at least play and smile like I did with Mean Gene.
I don't know if you can run as fast, though, you know, because there's always that fear of the body slam, you know, and from Jesse the body. But he's actually slowing down a little bit, so actually that wasn't a concern. But I was ready to take off just in case. He did yell at one of the other guys in our group in, you know, the classic Jesse Ventura voice, "You never leave a birdie putt short." And so he didn't. Didn't make it, but he did leave it short. So I pretty much fell in line with the things that Jesse said. But
I would do this.
For the most part, he's a really good guy. A lot
Ron
of fun.
Nelson Property Consultants. Great information this morning. You
Thanks.
Have a good weekend.
Thanks.
When we come back, we're going to the State Fair. We're going to talk about 3,500 4-H'ers on the grounds in Huron. Welcome back to It's Your Business. Time to do a little testimonial for my friends at Comfort King. Enjoyed the Comfort King bed last night, knowing that the next three nights, it won't be a Comfort King. I'll be on the road visiting family in eastern Iowa, not too far from where North Dakota State plays the Cyclones, and then where the Jackrabbits are playing tomorrow at Columbia, Missouri. But the Comfort King gives me a feel of getting that good night's sleep with the fact that my wife and I were fitted by the factory expert, Mr. Chris Larson, not too far from the mall. And now this is almost September, and we've had 8-9 months of being able to get a good night's sleep. And as we've learned from Chris Larson, we've learned from watching the stories on getting a good night's sleep, if you don't sleep well at night, you never get it recovered. So think about it as you have a mattress that maybe you need to do something with, something that doesn't have the right feel to it, doesn't have the value that lets you have your head up, your feet up, and you can get a comfortable night's sleep. It's a good ROI for me, can be for you. Comfort King. Peter Nielsen is the 4-H Youth Director that talks to us all the time. Peter, good morning to you.
Well, good morning, Bill.
Roughly 3,500 or so in Huron for the state fair?
Yes. We've got 3,500 youth that usually exhibit at the state fair. 9,000 is our total membership, but we've usually got that many kids that actually make the trip and exhibit something at our South Dakota State Fair.
Now, the old Clover building is no longer there, but you're using an armory this year.
Yes, the National Guard Armory is right beside the old Clover Hall, and we pretty much packed everything in there. We put some limits, two exhibits, display exhibits per youth and 4-H in there. I tell you what, Bill, it's quite a sight. It really came together well. We've got a lot of pride in this state, and the best of the best showed up in those displays. They might have not brought something marginal, but they really put their best two efforts forth, so to speak. And that place is packed with every county in the state in one building. Looks really good. They put personal pride into it, the display area. We're having a good time at the state fair, and that looked really good to have all those things judged and ready to go for exhibits yesterday.
Peter Nielsen, 4-H Youth Director. Interesting stories you can share about some of the 4-H'ers.
Well, some of them have really put together some work, and especially as we're talking about this new building, you know, we look at this as their Super Bowl, but they're also thinking of the future. They want this building as well. In fact, I'm just finishing up a state fair commission meeting. Of the $4 million raised, our goal was to, for this new building, our goal was to be at $3 million by the time the fair is over. We are right now $39,000 away as of this morning from that $3 million goal. So that looks very promising. A lot of things have come in. Weather's coming on okay. We've had a lot of people out here already. So that's great to see. Those kids are doing their parts too. I mean, I believe it was told, you know, quite a few dollars have been raised just in the county fairs. And the county kids that at their local area achievement days or county fair, they went ahead and raised funds for this building. So definitely a grassroots effort to increase that building presence, and they're all putting part of it. As far as the state fair goes today, we started up our livestock shows and youth in action events yesterday, but definitely our livestock shows start today on Friday. We've got our meat goats and dairy goats going right now. Very interesting. A lot of people don't recognize the typical livestock species as being those, but meat goats and dairy goats are a growing project due to their size and availability to many different kids.
You mentioned the figure 9,000 4-H'ers as we talked, but things have changed since I was in 4-H a few years ago, a few decades ago. Sorry, Peter, but
no problem.
We do have people that come from both the farm and the city, and to me, as we kind of do the farm stuff on Kello, we know the importance of people in the city understanding farm, with it being the biggest industry in South Dakota.
Well, it's one of our big priorities in the 4-H program. Yes, those demographics have changed. If you think roughly, and bear with me on figures, you know, there's about 160,000 kids in the state of South Dakota. Well, almost 75,000 kids are in the Sioux Falls, Minnehaha, and Lincoln County areas. So really, the demographics have changed, not to take anything away from the middle part or the western side of our state, but we don't have as many people there as we did before. So roughly, as we look at that, priorities have also changed. So to talk about these numbers, if you look at 1971, I've got a document that said we had about 25,000 members we had in 4-H, but they only did outreach programs from SDSU Extension's 4-H Youth Development Program to reach about 9,000. Well, we're just the opposite now. Now we've got 9,000 full-fledged members. Times are different on how we track things as well. And the programs that are going out just a couple years ago was up in the 50s. You know, now we're talking 25 to 50,000 kids, depending on the year and the programs we do. So that's a significant change, significant impact, but also a responsibility on our part to concentrate on that agriculture part of things, really look at our suburban and urban areas and make sure that we know where the food comes from. We're not as closely related as a population to where our food production comes from as we used to be. So it's, I think, an important responsibility we take on to educate the public every day.
Peter Nielsen, the 4-H Youth Director in South Dakota. Peter, to kind of further that, when we start talking with those industries in South Dakota that are agriculture, what we have found is that they're now talking about passing the torch. They're talking about daughters being involved. They're talking about how they can reach consumers so they understand the importance of being involved by using products that are in South Dakota.
Well, and I think that's a great point. You know, we've done a phenomenal job in the last several years with administrations and business alike to make sure that we're keeping our most precious resource, which is our youth, of course, in the state of South Dakota and finding more opportunities. And there's still more work to be done, of course. But if we look at those same reports that I look at from a standpoint of what business and industry needs, we're really developing life skills in our youth that are not presently taught because we don't even know what that job's going to be. Technology is changing so much. So we really have, even with those kids that maybe aren't directly related in production agriculture, we're developing scientific skills, science skills, and entrepreneurship skills for these kids to be the next generation of workers. And it's a huge push that we're going to continue to make in 4-H, and I think we've only just started to hit on it.
Peter, for those that are kids or the parents, how do they get their kids involved? Is it a simple process of just signing up?
We've moved. Some people may say sometimes that it's not simple, Bill, but we've really gone to an online system. You still have your county extension office, which is your best place to talk about the 4-H program and some of the traditional things they're used to. But to really get involved, we've gone to an online enrollment system that we're starting to conduct classes and things like that. You access it through iGrow and then the 4-H side of things. But if that online system continues to develop. So County Extension Office and, of course, iGrow.org are the best two ways to get a hold of the 4-H program and bring it to your area or find a club near you.
Next hour, we're going to talk with Lauren Noss a little bit more about this, and then you're going to rejoin us on Wednesday. We've moved our ag show next week because of Labor Day, and I think you're going to be on the road from here into Madison or someplace in that direction, but you're going to talk with us next Wednesday in our 10 o'clock hour.
Sounds great, Bill.
Okay. Peter Nielsen, have fun with those kids up there. Let them know we're thinking about them, and keep doing what they're doing. It's important to what South Dakota is tomorrow.
You bet, and send them this way. We'd love to have you. It's going to be a great weekend.
When we come back, we'll set the stage for our second hour this morning. We're going to hear from the Plastic Surgery Associates and also the winner of the Best in the Business for an Industry, all coming from Hartford, South Dakota. Next, John from Valentino's.
I wish I'd...
Well, it's that Labor Day weekend time, and it made me kind of wonder at Valentino's 41st and Willow, what Labor Day brings for you? What kind of schedule do you have at 41st there?
At 41st and Western, Bill, we have a usual day scheduled. We'll probably plan on seeing a lot more family groups out during the day. And if it rains, we'll be very, very, very busy. It's one of the busiest weekends of the year.
What about Labor Day? Will you guys be open?
Oh, yeah. We're open Labor Day. Matter of fact, there is a concert going down on at the McKinnon Parks that we're donating pizzas to. And I believe it starts around 11 o'clock.
Okay.
And so you want to enjoy some good Valentino's pizza.
Earlier in the show, I think it was Jesse Schmidt from the Better Business Bureau talked about the importance of eating your fish. Does that fit what you have for lunch today?
It sure does, since it's Fish Fry Friday. Every Friday is a fish fry at Valentino's. And it's not something that comes from the freezer to the fryer. We actually get the fillets and cut them up by hand and hand dip them just before they go to the fryer. So they're fresh, they're crispy, and the flavor of the fish comes through.
And, of course, Sunday is the brunch.
Yep, Sunday brunch. We open at 9 a.m., and we have a ton of breakfast items like waffles and French toast. We make our own biscuits and gravy, bacon, sausage, and ham, which is not a wimpy ham. We slice it thick. Of course, we have scrambled eggs, triple breakfast casseroles. Plus, we have a lot of luncheon items, favorites for the kids, and, of course, the fried chicken.
And Joy would want me to mention the word salad. You can tell her I did mention it once this week.
Yes, of course, we got one of the freshest salad bars in town.
So. You certainly do. We'll talk to you next hour, John.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Chris Tubbs just happened to be walking by. He's got a Minnesota Vikings shirt on. I have to remind you that the Vikings have won a lot of games in the preseason, but they're 0-0 in the regular season, Chris.
I heard the same thing about the Detroit Lions back in 2008. Hey, 4-0 in the preseason, 0-16. I want to go on record and say I don't think the Vikings go 0-16.
Oh.
No, they won't.
You don't think they're going 16-0 either?
I don't see a loss on the schedule, Bill.
Really?
I don't see a loss on the schedule.
Dr. Vance Thompson will be back in, and we can check your eyes, too.
It's not my eyes. It's my heart. It hurts if I root against my Vikings.
What are you drinking today, anyway?
It's coffee, but my wife made it for me, so I don't know what else she... You're usually in a good mood when your wife puts something in your coffee on a Friday morning.
There you go. All right. High school football.
Yes, sir.
Let's get right to it. We got about a minute left.
Okay. Well, tonight, I think the game that a lot of us are going to be watching is in 11 AAA. And that is number one versus number two. And it's going to be Roosevelt, who got beat pretty good in last year's 11 AAA championship game. They've got maybe the best player in the state in quarterback Karen Christian. He's an SDSU recruit. Fantastic numbers. He's got maybe one of the most well-rounded games. He's a pocket. He can sit back in the pocket. He's a great running quarterback. Question for Roosevelt is they only got two starters returning on defense. Plus, they got a 6'6 senior, 285-pound left tackle, Grant Schmidt, who's going to go play football for a school called Ohio State. So you got two D1 recruits. On the other side, you got Brandon Valley. They've got more returners on defense. Jake Como, this is going to be a big year for Jake Como. But I do think number one versus number two, we've got that game actually on FM 107.9 KELQ, 6:45 pregame with a 7 o'clock kickoff from Howard Wood Field. That is really the game that should set the tone for the rest of the year for us.
Nice.
And I get to be with you or Matic next week when Brandon plays. So.
Yes, I haven't even looked that far, but I know you and I are, we're going to go on the road quite a few times this year, Bill.
Yes,
I'm looking forward to it.
Far away.
Yes.
For now, our time's up. Thank you for yours.